This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoneng here with the one and only Koo Soo Chuang.
Morning, how are you?
Good, thank you. It's currently now 6 a.m. at Thursday the 9th of July, otherwise known as Friday Junior, because...
Friday Junior.
Yeah, this is something the producers call it. But I think it's very true because you can almost taste, smell.
You can smell it. You can see it coming.
And of course, plan for the weekend.
Mm.
Okay, we're almost there.
When it happens, what are you going to do?
I'm very boring. I'm probably going to go running, as everyone knows.
Where are you going to run to? Who are you running from?
Work. And the baddies like you. And the baddies like you, Chuang. Normally for me, it's a chance to just spend some time with my parents, attend church online,
bake
some cakes, and just relax and watch some more Agatha Christie movies so I know how to murder each and every one of
y'all. Why are you watching Agatha Christie movies?
I just love
it. Just to get ideas about how to, you know.
You murder all of y'all, right, and never get caught. But what about you, Chuang? What are you planning?
Got no idea. Probably sleep, probably work out, I don't know,
chill time.
Yeah, just disturb my children, give them hell.
The joys of parenthood, right?
Demand ridiculous things from them, you know.
But kids are going back to school soon, right?
Wednesday lah. But so, the format, don't know yet. Whether they're going to be like team A, team B, afternoon, morning, you know.
Okay. Alternate,
or whether they're going to the hall versus the class, who knows?
I think some schools have already come out with their plans, right? My nieces told me that they'll be going to school. I think it's like regular. It depends whether the school has the space for everyone to be on a single stream. But I think for some parents, you know, it's like rejoice.
Yeah.
But of course, there'll be some apprehensions nonetheless with COVID-19 out there.
I think yesterday the paper said that you can choose to not let your kids go to school. It's up to you.
But what do you have this morning, Chuang?
Sorry, what?
What stories do you have this morning?
Can't hear you.
Do you have this morning?
A story about distraction. Just what? Sorry.
Normal state, lah, Chuang.
My normal state. Yeah.
Okay.
Something about my normal state.
Well, I'll be looking at, unfortunately, what has become even more common in this post COVID-19 environment: scams. So if you want to weigh in on our conversation, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, Across the Universe by Fiona Apple. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoneng here with Koo Soo Chuang, and that was Across the Universe by Fiona Apple. Now, I'm going to be talking about this interesting article that was in the BBC yesterday. And the title is How the US Caught Flashy Nigerian Instagrammers with 40 million. And actually, what is interesting about it is the fact that these people who were caught lived this amazingly luxurious life with private jets, luxury designer goods, fast cars, and they were not shy about it. They flaunted it on Instagram, and they gave themselves very cool names like Mr. Woodbury, Hush Puppy. But guess what? How they actually made their money? They actually made it from scams, which actually is so common around the world, even here in Malaysia.
Well, the whole concept of Nigerian scams is actually very common as well. They've gotten the wrong reputation for those reasons. What they've done wrong is the same thing like, you know, last time when you call in to your boss and he says, hey, sorry, I can't come into work today. I got upset stomach, right? And then you get spotted on Facebook, you know, by the poolside, right? It's the same thing. I mean, how can you imagine your real life and your online life is two different things?
Yeah, but I suppose for them, they really thought that they could hide behind the internet, right? Because most of these scams operate...
Can't see them, right?
Yeah.
It's
either maybe they call you and somehow they're in one way or another, eventually, you know, they kind of connect with you. Or it's like a phishing kind of email where you respond and before you know it, you've handed over, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to them. But they were somehow didn't think that the law would catch up with them. And they kind of lived this larger-than-life online.
Yeah, what I find really weird, because I saw some of the postings on Instagram, right? And then they go, this is for all the people who disbelieved in me. And, you know, I thank the Almighty Lord for my ability to get so rich. And, you know, don't let anybody ever tell you that you can't be done. hey, but mate, you did it illegally, right?
Hey, bro, you a crook.
Yeah. So there's this kind of like divide in their psyche that what they've done is all right, and then they credit themselves in their brain power for doing this. No, you stole the money. You know, there's this personality disorder that these people seem to have.
Compartmentalize it,
in such a way that they believe that what they've done is right, and then it's because of their ability. It's really weird.
Yeah, but I think, you know, when you look at it, they are very clever people. Because you always think that I will never fall into a scam. It's only the people who are, you know, not smart, not savvy. But I think even in Malaysia, and we've had reports, right? Ordinary, intelligent people have gotten caught.
Have you kena before?
No, touch wood.
Yeah. You know what happened, right? A friend of mine it's a close, trusted friend of mine on Facebook, right? Got a message from her on Facebook Messenger saying, oh, blah, 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 you know, can you, just bought something for you, can you just read me the OTP number, right?
So I thought.
So I thought, okay, well, it's coming from my mate.
Must be real, right?
Must be real, and then I was rushing somewhere, right?
Mm.
Gave the person my OTP number. Literally seconds later, got a message from her saying, hey, don't anyone, because my Facebook's been hacked.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, holy moly, right?
Did you lose any money,
I got scammed $200 from my... I don't know from my account or something, I can't remember, but $200 lah.
Yeah, I've had it where...
You bought something from some online place.
I've had the WhatsApp where my friend says, oh, I'm stuck in, you know, in Singapore, I've lost my passport, you know, can you wire me some money to this account?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've had those, all right?
Those are easy to spot lah.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, you being good natured, you want to respond, right? You want to help them. But I thought to myself, why is he sending me a WhatsApp? And I'm not that close to him that I would be the person he would reach out to. He would reach out to his brother because I know he has a sibling. Why me? I'm like very down the food chain. So I think the point is, when you get any suspicious emails or any suspicious calls where there's a call to action and a revealing of, let's say, some information that you otherwise would not need to reveal, you know, or like... very personal or private, anything to do with a bank account, your IC number, your address, I think you should be very, very, like, wary.
Yeah, the ones I find quite believable, and I don't know, you know, but it's like some person from the government agency calls up.
Ah, yeah, income tax department.
Or income tax, and you're like, oh, what have I done now?
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, can you please tell me this or something? Like, hang on, are you real or not, you know?
Remember not too long ago, we had even the scam where if you picked up the phone and it was literally a recording that it was Makama something, you know, from the courts. That was very widespread.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really strange because the Makama will never call you and they will never call you on a recording. So I guess the point is, you know, be very, you know, alert about these things. And if you're not sure, don't act. Just don't do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing is the kind of people you see on Instagram, you know, posing next to private jets and Rolls Royce Wraiths. Sometimes it's not really the money they made for themselves, right?
Well,
you know.
But, you know, thank goodness, they weren't that discreet. They weren't that discreet.
Yeah.
Because if they were, we would never have caught them in the first place.
Exactly. Come on, if you're going to rob people of money, then don't flaunt it after that, right? Jeremy, it's like,
I think rewind a bit,
Chang.
Don't rob people of any money.
Actually, that's true. Don't rob anyone.
Anyway, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Bright Side by The Killers, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. Well, we have another interesting story from The Guardian, and this one, I think, resonates very closely to your heart, right, Chuang?
Hello,
is anyone there? And the article is about being constantly distracted, and here's how to wrangle the 21st century syndrome, because basically it's hard to pay attention.
Didn't this used to be known as multitasking? Now it's called being distracted. But actually, there's so many more things we're distracted now. Like, for example, some people are on air talking, you know, about stories from The Guardian. And then they're doing research for an interview that's happening tomorrow. Then they're checking their WhatsApps. And then, you know, half their mind is in, half their mind is somewhere else.
Do you think that's a bad or good thing?
I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's rewired our brains, you know. It makes it very hard to focus on one thing now. Like, for example, now, to read a whole book from cover to cover, I find it very hard.
Maybe that's why, you know, when you think about all the trends that kind of come up, mindfulness is one that has become very popular.
Yeah, la,
you know, that kind of where you are just distilling everything into one.
I think mindfulness, you know, is just being aware of what you're doing at this point in time and not being distracted by anything else. But it's just being here, you know.
Yeah, so it's that discipline, right? And which we have kind of lost. Yeah. Because we're like, you know, 1,001 things buzzing at the same time.
So how do you get rid of it? How do you address it yourself?
You got to go into a cave because I think it's going to be difficult in modern society. And I'm saying that from just being a practical person that I am, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you're working, it's nice to say theoretically you need to have work-life balance, you need to compartmentalize stuff.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, I will only work from 7 to noon. That never happens, okay? I mean, there are so many demands in the real world. And maybe some jobs make it easier and some jobs are harder. But if, let's say, we are in media and where we're relating, you know, we're basically involved, you know, thick in the news, how can I just shut down the world?
Yeah, you can't. You can't. It's part of the job description, right? My kids don't believe it, or they find it incredible that I say this, but I tell them I can't wait for the day I don't have a smartphone or an iPad. I just want to cut off all my subscriptions, cut off all my lines, and just be able to have nothing in front of me.
So how will your friends contact you? The old-fashioned phone? No friends.
Just have no mates. Yeah.
Yeah, but how do you achieve that nice balance though? Because I'm not sure I want to go as far as you, you know, in terms of cutting off technology, WhatsApp, you know, the iPad.
Yeah, but like, for example, all these WhatsApps I get, I don't really, I don't respond. I just quickly read through them and then I don't respond.
Oh, that's what you do with my WhatsApps. No, you just ignore them.
No, but there's exceptions to the rule.
Oh, so you see my name, then you're like, oh, I have to.
Then I'll answer yours, lah.
Okay.
No choice.
But apparently, if you read this article, they say there are psychological reasons why you want to be distracted because you don't really want to confront the task in front of you. And maybe that's a little bit of fear of failure.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Is that what The Guardian says?
Yes.
You can't really believe what The Guardian says. Always, you know.
Well, it's based actually on a book that they're reviewing, and it's called Indistractable, How to Control Your Attention and Choose Your Life by Nir Eyal, who's trying to answer exactly that, you know. Because he himself was an author and he tried very hard to just, you know, plug along on that computer, typing out stuff, but nothing happened.
Being a professional writer is very tough. Just to set aside like 2 hours every day.
The discipline,
and,
right?
Yeah, just to write, yeah.
So one of the things he did was to go and get a very old-fashioned word processor because the problem with the computer is, you know,
there's a lot of other things in
there.
Yeah, right?
Before you know it, you're online and then you're in somebody's blog or on some website that you're like, hey, I saw this, you know, a restaurant, I want to check it out and then look at the reviews, you know, or like, next minute you're on another news portal. So that's I guess 21st century life. But to what cost?
Yeah, actually, I'm actively practicing very active prioritizing now. So the night before, I'll say, okay, tomorrow's Friday. I've got I don't schedule too many meetings now. I give myself one two things to do, and then I try and keep it simple. Like 2 or 3 things in one day, I'll try and achieve. So if I've got a meeting tomorrow at 4, I'll just do that meeting. I won't try and, some people will try and schedule 5 meetings in one day. I won't do that. And then I'll just say, okay, I'm going to go and do my research for this thing tomorrow and I'll complete this one task. And then I'm done. Then I'm going to try and go and do my workout or whatever in the evening. Just try and keep it simple.
So have fewer must-do things on your list, right?
Yes.
Fewer objectives.
Yes, yes. And then just make sure those 2 or 3 things get done. Then I'm done. Then I can sleep happy.
But the problem is, how do you distill that in a very busy world?
So you prioritize, lah. What is important to you today? That's it.
What if there's a million things, which all of us sometimes face, right? That's a bit of an issue.
Then postpone. When in doubt, postpone.
Postpone. But he does, AL has some tech tips too. I mean, one of which I think is very clever, but I don't know whether it's possible. And he says that, you know, if you want to receive fewer emails, you must send fewer emails.
Okay, so I'll show you after this how to block, delete emails. I'm very good at... I've got 9 email accounts, by the way, yeah. 9 of the suckers, right?
How do you manage to remember? I want to know how you even remember all the 9 passwords, Chuang.
I don't. I don't.
So there's 1 password for all 9, okay?
No, but it's on a spreadsheet somewhere.
Okay. But apparently the other thing that he encourages people to do is when, you know, in the office, don't spend time on time drainers like Slack or WhatsApp.
I just leave the office. I just don't stay around. Because you know when you're in the office, you're very inefficient. You're talking to all kinds of people. You're making small talk. Just go home and, or just go to your office and get it done. Your own office, lah.
But sometimes you want to be in the office because you want to chat with your colleagues, right? Otherwise, yeah, how do you build that team spirit also? And then there's no human interaction. Because I know I'm not a big fan of like interaction entirely on, you know,
computer
or on the phone.
Got to make a call, I guess. But yeah.
But that's the modern life, right? I mean, well, how do you manage? So it's important to kind of practice this discipline, like you say, Chuang.
Yeah, keep it simple for me. I just keep it simple.
Well, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin. And to take us here is Blue Light by Block Party. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Shaoning with Kusu Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. And that was Stay Gone by the Get Up Kids. But before we look at what's happening around the world, I just want to read this very funny WhatsApp by Ro, who messaged us in, I think, and this is regarding this story about scams. He goes, "Morning, y'all. The radio alarm clock, which I listen to BFM, is about to spoil. Kindly bank in 2.6 million to my bank account number 4865 so I may continue to listen. Thanks." Yeah, but it's true. You get all sorts of funny people sending you all sorts of funny messages on your phone. And all I can say is, ignore it.
Ignore them. Yeah, especially when they ask for money.
Yeah, anybody when, you know, if they need money from you and they're desperate, they'll come and see you in person. That's my theory. But meanwhile, we look at the US in terms of what's happening around the world. Top advisors, apparently, to President Donald Trump want the US to undermine the Hong Kong US dollar peg. And this is sources that told Bloomberg. And this is seen as an option to punish China, whose recent actions took away Hong Kong's political freedom. The idea considers limiting the ability of Hong Kong banks to buy US dollars.
You know, this option to seen to punish Hong Kong, right? I wonder whether this is just going to drive China to just say, okay, well, I don't need the US dollar. I don't need the peg. I don't need the assorted privileges that comes from this relationship
special
with America.
Special status, right?
Special status. I'm just going to take back my place, my island, my city-state, and then I'm just going to internalize. And that's part of the reason why the commentators are saying that the Chinese share market is doing so well. Because the Chinese economy is just saying, well, we don't need these international links. We'll just do business with ourselves. And that's it will just get stronger.
Yeah, and if you think about it, right, does it really achieve what it's supposed to, which is this ongoing trade war, right? So Bloomberg News, right, they reported this story, but they also said that it's probably going to only hurt Hong Kong banks and the US and not China, which is the ultimate like target that Trump is aiming for. At the same time, are people worried? Did the Hong Kong dollar weaken? It didn't seem to.
Apparently not. You know, I met some people who live and work in Hong Kong. They said in Hong Kong, people, they just don't really actually care.
Life goes on, right?
Life goes on, yeah.
I think also because if you look at the Hong Kong dollar, it is backed by something like 430 billion of foreign reserves itself. And China's central bank can also provide US dollars through currency swap lines should actually Washington impose sanctions on the city. So they're already signaling, hey, you can try, but you know it might not go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to do all kinds of things, right? They're even thinking about considering cancelling the Hong Kong-US extradition treaty. And even ending cooperation with Hong Kong's police. And, you know, Hong Kong police, a lot of them are foreigners, right? British people, Australian people.
And your question earlier on about whether Hong Kong could just peg the dollar to the Chinese yuan instead,
they could do that, right?
Right?
And you know, all this money that the Federal Reserve is printing, right? It's like the Zimbabwe. Remember the Zimbabwean dollar?
The 1,000% inflation in a day or something.
Yeah, in a day.
Like
it's
that.
Crazy. At some point in time, all this money printing is going to go bad for the US dollar, right? And at some point in time, people are just not going to hold their reserves in US dollars. They'll try and hold it in yuan or something, or SDRs. Yeah.
But for the moment, I mean, the Hong Kong Monetary Authority say no because they think, and at this juncture, the US dollar is still the most appropriate anchor currency because, and this is true, it's fully convertible and still can be traded freely in large amounts on foreign exchange markets.
No, it's
but
true.
Like you say, after a while, with time, that might change.
Yeah, because you know the value is not pegged to anything except for the trust between you and me, right?
Confidence.
It's not pegged to the. It hasn't been pegged to the gold since 1974.
Yeah, but currencies are a function of, you know, the real broader economy, macroeconomic data. You know, that's true. But a lot of it is also confidence. What do investors feel or think about the future of this country? So I guess this is something we'll be watching closely to see, you know, what else will be weaponized.
Well, right now,
in this trade war,
I think right now the US dollar is used in 55% of global trade, But Ray Dalio, Bridgewater, he's been doing this analysis of former reserve currencies, including the Dutch guilder, including the pound sterling, and they've all gone the same direction. I mean, who uses the pound sterling today? Nobody, right? Or the Dutch guilder, nobody.
Is there still a Dutch guilder?
Well, at the time, because remember, in the 17th century, the Dutch were the global powers, and the Dutch guilder was widely used.
But every currency seems to have its golden moment and then it fades
then
away,
fades
right?
Away, yeah. Even Latin is gone now as a language, right?
Yeah, so who knows, right? But like we were talking about things being weaponized and currency being one of them. And this is against this backdrop also where US senior advisors are mulling options over, which is Christopher Wray, who is the director of the FBI. Now, he has come out to say that China is the greatest long-term threat to the US. He described it as having a multiple prong disruption campaign where they engage in a whole of state effort to become the world's only superpower by any means necessary. So, okay, they just quarreled over currency and now they're quarreling over, you know, I guess, espionage.
Yeah, so he's saying that, you know, China is doing a far-reaching campaign of economic espionage, data theft, monetary theft, illegal political activities, bribery and blackmail to influence US policy. I even read somewhere that a lot of the Chinese academics in America, in all the top Ivy League schools, a lot of them are actually espionage infiltrators, right? But at the end of the day, right, do you think you can have two big dogs in one room? You can't, right?
You can't. You can't have two tigers up in a hill,
can't have the
right?
Two tigers.
But you know, the issue about this, Chuang, is that as the two tigers are up on that hill and starting to fight,
started the fight,
yeah. Who's going to get caught in the middle of it all?
The small guys, lah.
Which is?
Including us, lah. And Singapore as well.
Yeah, you know, we've had many conversations with many political analysts about this, right? How do you actually benefit from this, you know, as the trade war continues? I don't know. Maybe something that's not so easy to answer. But let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything we've discussed this morning. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll take a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Digital Witness by St. Vincent. And now we're going to have I'm with Koh Siu Chuang and this is The Morning Run. And we're going to be looking at the newspapers. So,
yes.
Chuang, what do you have in front of you?
I've got a Star. And after literally like 4 months of using this thermometer readings on your... You know that zap gun which they zap
the
on your phone?
Yeah. Thermometer thing.
Now the intelligent people are saying that those readings could be wrong.
You don't say. Because let's be honest, in one day I've gone from like 36.3 to 36.9. And this was the best, 34.1. And I was like, I should be dead if it was 34.1.
So now they're saying, well, good hygiene is always better than having those things zap your forehead.
I suppose they are indicators.
Indicators.
I mean,
indicators.
If you've got a temperature, it probably can register, but it's not 100% foolproof.
Of course not. If you come in off your car and the aircon is blasting in your forehead,
that's why you're 34.1, right?
Yeah, exactly. Star Biz page one saying that the banks are facing a conundrum now because even though they should be lending money because the government wants them to, they're also trying to be prudent and not having this bad loans into their loan book. So that's the what kind of like policy conundrum that they're facing. And this is according to Vincent Koo, head of research at UOB Kay Hian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I've got the Malaysian Reserve in front of me and the headline is Uncertain Future for 200,000 retail outlets.
200,000?
Yeah, 200,000. Wow. I'm staring at the zeros and yes, there are five zeros. So these small businesses that, you know, more will cease operations during the MCO now face an uncertain future as basically customers stay away from non-essential purchases. And you know what I heard this morning also on Bloomberg Radio is that in US there are as many as, you know, 1 million, and these are like fashion shops, fashion retail shops, and they expect at least a quarter of them to also shut down.
Well, Brooks Brothers just went broke, right? They filed for Chapter 17.
Yeah.
So they're no longer known as Brooks
All
Brothers.
All the people who used to love preppy fashion, where are you going to go now?
Yeah, but the stuff is going out of fashion anyway, lah.
Especially apparently now in COVID-19 because people are working from home and also there's just been a huge shift towards casual
wear. When was the last time you wore a shirt? Well, sorry,
I'm wearing a shirt now.
Sorry. your corporate suit, like literally like months ago, right?
Yeah, I can't even remember, yeah. You know. I mean, at one time it was like the rigueur to go to work in a suit. But yes, even today, I mean, even in investment bank, people don't wear that anymore.
They don't. I think Goldman's told their people to not wear suits anymore.
Yeah, right. You know, go with the times, lah. You know, you could be a Mark Zuckerberg and wear that grey T-shirt forever and ever.
So
and,
ugly,
and you're
right?
Still a billionaire, so never mind.
Okay, I've got the HCO brief in front of me, and this is the stuff that they push out to all the subscribers in the morning. They're pointing out that the penny stock rush has pushed burst of volume to a new record high. PDZ Holdings, so over 1.5 million shares. Was it billion or million? Can't tell how many zeros there. But they were the most traded yesterday by an order of magnitude, 3 times more than the next one, which is Iris Corp. Iris Corp is over 400 million, nearly 400 million shares.
The retailers are back, man.
They're back, man.
And but back in a big
they're
way.
They're flighty. Sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't. But this is a good quarter to be buying Bursa stock now, right? Because
They are beneficiary by the increased velocity, right? That's one way of...
Commissions are going to be good for Bursa.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, I'm looking at the Singapore Straits Times. And today's, by the way, the eve before elections. Tomorrow they're going to
the
polls.
Oh, yes, of course, Singapore. Yeah,
but their headline is 7 more worker dorms cleared of COVID-19 patients, because that was where their clusters were, right? And this is what blindsided them in their attempt to curtail COVID-19.
Yeah, the workers, right? They got about 300,000 workers or something?
Yes, and they house them in specially designed dormitories, which I think has been... I mean, it's when you have so many people packed into one small space.
Specially designed means
what happens.
Sardine tins, la.
Well, Singapore's a tiny island, right? Yeah. So, unsurprisingly. But, you know, they still get infection rates daily above 100. So, good. You know, let's hope they bring it down fast.
Well, on a related note, page 3 of the Star saying that the Sri Petaling Tablik cluster has been declared over. And, of course, our Director General of Health, Dr. Noor Hisham, has also said that 70% of Malaysia's cases were asymptomatic. So, you couldn't tell that they were ill to start with until they were tested.
Yeah, that's the kind of worrying thing, right?
Yeah.
But our numbers seem to be coming down, so kudos to the DG. You know, I would like to see the day where we get zero, and zero like consecutively, right?
You know, if PN were to win this election, they should thank him. Give him a Tan Sri ship or something.
Yeah, for sure. He has done a good service to the country, right? I mean, actually, and it's all the frontliners.
Yeah.
Not just the
absolutely,
DG, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
He's
down,
the most public face. But
right down to the cleaners who are cleaning all the hospitals, provide, you know, the caterers. They're all frontliners. But meanwhile, in the Malaysian Kini, the headline is top story is MOF urged to explain procurement of blacklisted cargo scanners. And this is Transparency International Malaysia President Muhammad Mohan saying that the whole awarding process is questionable.
Well, yeah, okay. much of this country can be considered questionable, right? Including those crypto ATMs which Bank Negara says you shouldn't be using because they've not been authorized. I didn't even know there was cryptocurrency ATMs.
Neither did I. Anyway, that's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next is 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more market business news and analysis, and where we'll be speaking to Han Tan, market analyst at FXTM. But first, here's High Speed by Coldplay. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.